Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Jesus Christ is Lord of all, God is in control, and good always triumphs over evil. Well, good morning, everybody. Alex McFarland here, so honored that you're listening to the American Family Radio Network. And we've got a great show for you. This is Real Truth for Today. Very honored to be sitting in for Jeff Shreve, as I sometimes have the privilege of doing. And for those watching by video, or who soon will be watching by video, behind me on a large screen TV is the Charlie Kirk Memorial Service. I'm sure you know about it. I mean, this dominated global headlines and really has ever since the September 10th assassination of our friend, personal friend, and working colleague, Charlie Kirk. And, it was just amazing, and we're going to talk about this, how the gospel is going forth. Yesterday, glory to God, tens of thousands of people around the globe stood up in acknowledgement that they were putting their faith in Jesus Christ. Glory to God. I don't know if you watched that. President Trump was there. Melania was there. J.D. Vance was there. My friend of 35 years, Frank Turek, was one of the speakers. We'll talk about that later on in the show. We've got Caleb Collier, who is the leader of the Church and State broadcast on the National Religious Broadcasters Network, NRB. Caleb and I are longtime friends, and Caleb has been a staff member of TPUSA, Turning Point USA, and we'll talk about this. Also, let me just say that we are having an event in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina on Friday, October 3rd. Actually, it's a two-day event, and it will be the conclusion of our summer speaker series, Conversations That Matter. As you may know, Charlie Kirk spoke for us on Thursday night, August 21. And over the weekend, I give God the glory. The video of that, myself and Charlie Kirk, got 4 million views over the weekend. We've been putting up videos and social media posts for a long time. We've never had anything get 4 million views, and yet Charlie Kirk got 4 million views. It was very interesting. He thoroughly shared the gospel at our event, and I mean, that was what he was about. And really, folks, that's what all of us is about. You know, Charlie Kirk had a comparatively large platform. The rest of us may not feel like we have much of a platform, but by the word of God, we have this promise that our labor in the Lord is not in vain. Our labor in the Lord is not in vain. And so whatever you feel like your platform may or may not be, our assignment, if you're a born-again believer, is to know Christ and make him known. And it all counts for eternity. You know, Jesus said, unless a grain of wheat fall to the ground and die, it cannot bear fruit. But when it falls to the ground and dies, it bears much, much fruit. For those that may know a little bit of my background, I grew up on a farm. And for 68 years, my grandfather, my dad, me, I was working. You know, it's a good thing deep in rural North Carolina we didn't know child labor laws, because my mom and dad might have gotten in trouble. But from about 5 years old up, I was working on the farm. And you probably know this, but when a seed is planted, it really dies. My dad, who had a degree in agribusiness from NC State University, we grew every summer about 100 acres of corn to supplement the chicken farm income. I used to say, if you need to lose a lot of money and you need to lose it fast, go into the chicken business, because you can, well, just put your checkbook through a paper shredder. It'll go quickly. But, you know, the outer husk of a seed decomposes and dies. But what's inside the seed, the plant DNA, whether it be Silver Queen corn that we grew decades and decades of corn, my dad explained to me one time that when you bury that seed in the ground and there is before the growth a decomposition, a death, and when the Lord Jesus said, a corn of wheat falls to the ground and dies, but then it bears much fruit. And the world right now is taking note of the life of Charlie. Obviously, he died. But folks, what is emerging? The harvest, the hundredfold, the crop, are people around the world. On the screen behind me is Pastor Rob McCoy, and he opened the memorial service with a gospel invitation. And you could hear this rapturous applause as all over that stadium, thousands and thousands stood to indicate their decision for Jesus, and then all around the world as well. And folks, remember that God brings always good out of evil, triumph out of momentary defeat. And in Isaiah 61, before I bring my guest up, it says, to those who grieve in Zion, bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of the spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of His splendor. Isaiah 61:3. Well, Church of Jesus Christ, weary patriot, citizen who loves America but is gravely concerned, listen, in Jesus, through prayer, by the Holy Spirit revival that is happening now, don't miss it. We have beauty, not ashes. We have joy, not mourning. We have praise, not despair. We are in Jesus, by Jesus, for Jesus, the oaks of righteousness. And I know what an oak tree is. It's a thing of beauty. We, the church, we are a planting of the Lord. Glory to God. Well, I'm going to change gears and just, folks, I wish you could know this person. Caleb Collier has become like a brother to me. He leads the church and state broadcast. He's heard around the world. He's on all the podcast platforms. He's a national religious broadcaster, NRB Television. He worked with Charlie. He'll be with us on October 3rd. In Myrtle Beach at our big worldview conference, but also a memorial to Charlie. Jenna Ellis will be there in person. A lot going on. We'll tell you all about it. It's at alexmcfarland.com. But good morning, Caleb Collier, and it's great to see you again, my friend.
Morning, Alex. Appreciate being here.
You might need to lower your volume just a little bit. Do you have me now without feedback?
Yeah, I apologize. My computer is doing a update, and it's been doing these spiraling 7% for like 10 minutes now. So I'm trying to do this from my phone. I don't know how well that's working.
No worries. Hey, you know, it never fails. We've got some Macs. We've got some Windows-based computers. It is uncanny, Caleb. I'll be going on live radio on the American Family Radio Network, and I'll glance over at my Windows-based computer, and it will say, automatic update installing in 3, 2, 1. And I'll practically dive across the desk to go, stop, later. And but anyway, you're in Washington State, right?
Yes, sir, I am. I'm, as I say, behind enemy lines.
And that means you got up really early. Thanks, Caleb.
Yes, sir. 6 o'clock. But hey, in America, we drink coffee and it keeps me sustained.
As the good Lord intended. Hey, before we talk, and I want to really get into the memorial service yesterday and just some of your thoughts about what God is up to. But for those that may not be aware, the church and state broadcast, your ministries, bring people up to speed on Caleb Collier.
Yes, thank you. Appreciate the opportunity. You can find the show at churchandstate.media, but as Alex said, we're pretty much across every social media, anywhere you find podcasts. The only place you can't find us is YouTube. They banned us permanently, which is honestly a little bit of a badge of honor. Yeah. As Alex said, I did work for Turning Point. I've been gone just a little over a year now, but did have the opportunity to work for Charlie and work some of the events that he did, including a couple of AmFests. And I'm really looking forward, Alex, to really kind of breaking down, not just the memorial, but I think more importantly, what Charlie was all about.
Yeah, he was all about the gospel, wasn't he?
He was. I think, you know, there's a lot of different political pundits and talking heads that you can watch. Charlie Kirk, above all of them, really, really walked out his faith and made it the central focus of his message. You know, a lot of people thought more of Charlie Kirk as more the political guy. You know, he's reaching the youth. But if you go back and I challenge anyone to go back and listen to the vast majority of his debates or conversations that he had with people, he was always pointing to Christ.
He really was. He really was. And folks, that's what you and I are called to do in every situation. Yes, we love America. Yes, we are in the dialogue. We're in the, as Will Durant and Mortimer Adler would say, the great conversation. And those are some Christians from the 20th century that we could reference. But there is this great conversation going on about what is our nation, what should our nation be about. But within the conversations that we have with people, our interactions, we rub shoulders with neighbors, coworkers. Caleb, I really think as a Christian, we're always looking for that entree to steer the conversation toward the gospel and to get in John 3:16, for God so loved the world. Charlie did that, you know, when we had him August 21 at our big event, and people came from 17 states multiple times in the speech, and he and I did Q&A with the audience. But Charlie kept reiterating that the purpose of life is to put your faith in Jesus and to be born again. And yeah, he talked about politics as he did, and we should, but really, his life and certainly his death has been just a gospel juggernaut, hasn't it?
Yeah, I do agree. And, you know, there's some people online, I've been seeing this, that, it, you know, it was God's will. Well, of course, everything is God's will. But I don't think we should be so dismissive of the fact that, you know, this was a horrific assassination, and that we do, as Christians, want justice. I did love what Erica Kirk was talking about, forgiveness. This is something that is so foreign to the world. I think we really need to be leaning in to exactly what she just said as fellow believers, because there's such a stark difference, and we can really showcase this even through tragedy, where if you do a comparison of what happened with George Floyd, you know, they burned down cities. They rioted over that. And this is an individual
that was on fire.
Yeah, exactly. Whereas you look at what we have done as Christians, as conservatives, you know, we've been praying. We've been trying to lead people to Jesus. And the wife of the man who you just murdered says she forgives you. We really need to lean into that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Do you know, Caleb, I guess it was 2 days after Charlie was shot, and I mean, it was pretty raw for us. You know, Bert Harper and I were on AFR radio, live radio across the nation, and the news came that Charlie had been shot. Then I got a text from a friend of the president, and they said Charlie had died. And I mean, we were on live radio, and I got to tell you, Caleb, I mean, it was like I had been hit in the head with a 2x4. I mean, it was all I could do to kind of make a sentence. But I said to an audience 2 days later, we need to pray for the salvation of the shooter. And everybody kind of groaned. But I said, that's what Charlie would do. I guarantee, and I can prove it, because the Lord from the cross said, Father, forgive them. They do not know what they do. Folks, stay tuned. Caleb Collier here from the Church and State broadcast. We're talking about the gospel, our nation and world, and the legacy of Charlie Kirk. Stay tuned. The American Family Radio Network is back after this brief break. Don't go away.
Jan Harper. If you are a pastor's wife, Come be encouraged and renewed as you share your challenges and stresses unique to pastors and their wives.
The AFA Pastors and Wives Fishbowl Retreat is coming October 28th through the 30th. You're invited to join us at Pickwick Landing State Park in Counts, Tennessee for 3 days of encouragement, renewal, and worship. Once again, Brother Bert Harper, AFA Director of Family and Pastoral Ministries, will host the retreat along with his wife, Jan. Our speakers will include J.J. Jasper and Dr. Alex McFarland. If you've attended in the past, we'd love to see you again. And if you've never experienced a fishbowl retreat, we especially invite you to be refreshed and renewed. The per-couple admission price includes lodging, meals, and materials. Visit repairingthefoundations.net to learn more and register. That's repairingthefoundations.net.
The AFA Pastors and Wives Fishbowl Retreat. We'd love to see you there.
Life can be hard, but we have to keep our eyes focused on Jesus. I'm Christy Graham, host of On the Ground with Samaritan's Purse, and I want to encourage you in your walk with God. Listen each week as we go behind the scenes of our work around the world. You'll be challenged and encouraged in your own faith as you hear how God is actively changing lives. Join us for On the Ground with Samaritan's Purse, Sundays at 8:30 a.m. Central, right here on American Family Radio.
Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, a growing national network of pastors committed to the authority of Scripture and preaching the whole counsel of God. We believe biblical obedience is the foundation for revival, and impacting our culture for Christ is our duty. For too long, the pulpits of America have been silent on the important issues such as marriage and family and assault on our liberty. Join us in the battle for truth on Stand in the Gap weekend, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. on American Family Radio, and visit us at AmericanPastorsNetwork.org.
The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
Every day, I speak with people who are worried and are feeling a lot of pressure because of credit card debt. That's why I'm very proud of what we do at Trinity. We just help. We give people the support they need, along with a real plan to become debt-free. Credit card bills are consolidated into a single monthly payment that is much less than what they were paying before. Most of our members end up saving thousands and even may improve their credit scores by as much as 200 points. I know from the bottom of my heart that I'm making a difference in the lives of the people we help. It just makes me really happy.
If credit card debt has you down, call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813.
My name is Julie, and I'm a Trinity counselor. Call me and become debt-free for keeps.
1-800-788-1813.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at afr.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not, cannot, will not overcome it. That's John chapter 1. Welcome back, and good morning, everybody. Alex McFarland here, along with our dear friend and colleague, Caleb Collier. You're listening to the American Family Radio Network. And listen, I hope you're not feeling like there's been, you've maybe overdosed on Charlie Kirk coverage. This is really important. And this is... Caleb, I'm going to say this is one of the most significant cultural moments, spiritual moments in our history. I mean, on September 10th, when Charlie was shot, you know, for 24 hours, I mean, all the coverage on all the sites, and I'm pretty much a news junkie. I mean, it was Charlie Kirk coverage, and rightly so. And then as the days went on, the coverage continued. And the left has spewed out a lot of hate and things like that. But I got to tell you, I think this is going to be remembered. For one thing, the Spirit of God is leveraging this, and that's a wonderful story in itself. But I mean, this is like a JFK, MLK moment in our history, and certainly in the lives of millions of young people. Do you agree this is... this is measurably significant. Caleb, what do you say?
I completely agree with that, and I love the tie-in to, you know, JFK, MLK, RFK for that matter. Throughout history, you know, we've had the assassinations of leaders in the community, you know, certainly Abraham Lincoln, for example. And Charlie Kirk is that modern martyr for so many of us. It's also very, very telling how the opposition has responded. I know probably throughout history, you know, there probably some in the South may have celebrated the assassination of Abraham Lincoln, for example. But the left has truly lost their mind and is truly trying to defend a platform that is alienating from the, I'd say from the masses of America. I think one of the consequences of this assassination is that in 2026, I believe the Republicans are just going to clean house, because how can they possibly run on not just never Trump, but now defending the killer of a young man who just really wanted to communicate with people?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Charlie Kirk was assassinated for the crime of dialogue, talking with people, you know? I mean, and okay, I've been binge watching Charlie Kirk videos, and I mean, I've been a fan and a friend since 2021. I mean, I knew of him prior to that, but that's when I really got to know the organization and Charlie a little bit. But, you know, he was factual. And let's talk about this for a second, because, Caleb, 1 Peter 3:15 says that we are to set apart Christ as Lord in our heart and be ready always to give an answer to everyone who asks a reason for the hope that is within us, and we do this with gentleness and respect. So setting apart Christ as Lord in our heart, I mean, I was watching some of the really early Charlie Kirk videos where he looked like he was like 18 years old, you know, and they're on YouTube. For one thing, the message was very consistent. The Charlie Kirk that you heard at like 1920 was the Charlie Kirk you heard in 2025. But Caleb, if you would, what does 1 Peter 3:15 mean when it calls us to set apart Christ as the Lord in our heart? What does that mean, Caleb?
Yeah, he has to be the king, right, for all of you. When you and I were in Myrtle Beach speaking, I hit people with kind of a shocking statement, and I said I didn't want a relationship with Jesus Christ. And of course, it was rather appalling statement, but I led them down the path of I want unity in Christ. I don't want compromise. I don't want myself to compromise. I don't want Christ to compromise with me. I want to walk in unity with him, and that means that he is total control of your heart, your mind, your body, your soul. And then also within that passage, you know, is that call to be able to make a strong defense. And that means we cannot just be Christians who just sit on our faith. And when somebody asks us a difficult question, well, just because God told me so, or that's because I have faith in that. And it's something that you have dedicated your life to, Alex, and that's being an apologist. And I certainly saw that in Charlie Kirk as well. As you know, he was very, very dear friends with Frank Turek, another apologist. Mm-hmm. But I would encourage the audience right there, if you don't know what that is, you know, buy one of Alex's books. They're phenomenal. But always be at that ready to be able to make, you know, a strong defense of your faith and why you follow Jesus Christ.
Well, praise God, and thank you very much for mentioning my books. You know, I first met Frank Turek about 1990. It was funny, we went to a Josh McDowell event in Charlotte, and that's where I met Frank. And for those who may not know, Josh McDowell, Josh lives in California. He doesn't tour and speak anymore. But, you know, it's amazing, Caleb. It was my joy over the last 30 years to work, I mean, extensively, not just one and done, I mean, extensively, toured with Josh McDowell, Norm Geisler, Ravi Zacharias. We had Ravi in many, many of our events. Eric Metaxas, Lee Strobel. We were booking Lee Strobel in the late 90s, I mean, before the Case for Christ blew up and different things. And folks, if you might be sitting there thinking, I don't know these names. Well, the good news, and I could name a dozen names under every heading, but listen to this, folks. Does God exist? Yes. And logically, reasonably, evidentially, I mean, there are so many ways we can defend that the God of the Bible does exist. And there are incredible scholars under every one of these subjects. Did Jesus live? Historically, was there a person named Jesus? Absolutely. And there are incredible scholars that have documented the historical proof that the Jesus that you meet in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, he existed. He's real. What about the resurrection? Because if Jesus rose from the dead, if he came out of that tomb, that means Christ Jesus has the power to conquer death. Well, oh my goodness, next summer I'll be at the Cove with Gary Habermas, a colleague of 35 years. Gary Habermas is hands down, even the leftist non-conservatives say Gary Habermas is the world expert on the resurrection. And so on and on we could go. But folks, whether it's the Bible, is the Bible the Word of God? Have the manuscripts been preserved? Can you trust the Bible as the holy Word of God? Absolutely. And there are scholars and great data on all of that. Caleb, here's my point. I mean, we believe by faith. That means trust. We put our faith in the Lord to be saved. But it is a faith, ironclad, corroborated, underscored by just compelling lines of evidence. That's what apologetics is, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm not an apologist, in that I don't have a degree or anything of that nature, but we are all called to be apologists. And so I've definitely dived down that school of thought, and I've read many of books. One of my favorite points is the apostles who, other than John, all died for this faith. And as Frank has pointed out, if you've pointed out, nobody dies for a lie that they know is a lie. And these disciples, they all died horrific deaths. I mean, my favorite disciple is Simon the Zealot. We don't know a lot about Simon, but we do know a lot about the Zealot cause. And as a Christian patriot, as I refer to myself, I probably would have been a zealot at that time. Like, let's kill the Romans. Let's take them out. You know, get them out of our country. That cause appeals to me. But Simon the Zealot was literally hung upside down and sawn in half. Who would go through something like that if they didn't know that not only was Jesus alive, but that he died and rose again and was truly the Son of God?
Exactly, exactly. Caleb, have you ever done any work with Sean McDowell?
I have not.
Sean McDowell is the son of Josh McDowell. And Josh is like, I mean, Google his name if you don't know Josh. He's amazing. He wrote so many great books on apologetics. And I remember probably 25 years ago, my wife and I were driving Josh to a hotel late one night after a day of speaking. And Josh said, hey, I want you to check out some of the works that my son is doing. And he's going to do his doctorate at Biola in apologetics, which Sean did. And when I was working for James Dobson, we got Sean on the Focus on the Family radio show. Sean's first book, and it's a fantastic book, is about ethics, Christian ethics. But anyway, Sean has gone on to become an amazing speaker in his own right. And, I jokingly tell people, if you're going to be in apologetics, McDowell is the right last name to have, but Sean McDowell has established himself as a great apologetics and worldview speaker. But here's the thing. He did his PhD dissertation on the deaths of the early Christian martyrs. Because, Caleb, you make the argument, and it's a good argument, that all of the apostles except John was exiled to the Isle of Patmos, and that's where he got the vision and wrote the book of Revelation, the last book in the New Testament. And John was tortured, boiled in oil, but died. All the other apostles, the ones who had seen the risen Jesus, were martyred, and horrifically so. You mentioned like Simon the Zealot and Simon Peter, who was a different apostle. But here's my point. Sean was in a debate with an atheist, and the atheist said, well, how do you know that all these people died horrific martyrs' deaths and nobody recanted? Nobody said, oh, no, Jesus didn't rise. Please don't kill me. Nobody said that. Well, so Sean did his dissertation on how we know that the early martyrs, they really did die for the claim that Jesus had risen. They had seen the risen Jesus. Up to 500 people at once saw the risen Jesus. And of course, the resurrection proves that Christ is who he claimed to be, the one and only Savior. Well, Sean said to me, and I've interviewed him, we've shared the stage many times, he said, you know, the more research I did, the more compelling, Caleb, just multitudes in the first two centuries were willing to give their lives, they were willing to be executed, they were willing to be tortured to death for the claim that Christ Jesus is the Savior, he paid our debt, he rose from the dead, Jesus is the man, the Lord, God, Savior. And that's compelling, folks. What are we saying? Listen, there's all this evidence, but people willing, hundreds and hundreds throughout the Roman Empire and the Middle East, willing to die for the message of the gospel, that's compelling evidence about, we say the truth of it, the technical word is facticity, that it is factual. And 20 centuries later, the church still proclaims Jesus is Lord and he's as close by as a prayer. Caleb, doesn't it excite you that this is the most real thing in all of our lives? Jesus, the Savior, eternity with him, Satan is defeated, Christ is coming. There is no more real reality than the reality of Jesus Christ.
Amen to that. I mean, you know, our life is but a vapor. And I know for me, and I mean, I've definitely had a lot of rough spots in my past. I am by no means perfect. But understanding that I'm living under that grace, that it's literally nothing that I've done. It's no actions. It's no works. It's the fact that Jesus Christ took my sin upon himself and died on the cross for me. That is something that just brings so much joy to my life to understand that. And it makes me want to follow him, to try to do better, to you know, try to do good works, to love my neighbor. And this is something that you can see in the Christians that truly understand this. Look, there's so many ways that Alex and I could point everybody to Christ. I mean, you can simply look at, as you were talking about Christian ethics, how would a society not benefit from an influx of Christianity? People who don't steal, don't lie, don't murder. Isn't this beneficial just at the political level, the civic level? I think the evidence is, of course, yes. So, you know, to kind of put bookends on what we're talking about here, it would be a call. And you know, this is going back, you know, to what we all witnessed yesterday, to the memorial service. It's a call for all of you to turn your lives over. If you're not a Christian, right now is the time. And Charlie and Alex and so many other great people are all pointing right there towards Christ.
Amen. Amen. If you're just tuning in, the voice you're hearing is Caleb Collier, a longtime friend and colleague, Alex McFarland here. We've got a brief break. Caleb, give your website, and we're going to come back after the break and continue. But what's your URL, my friend?
Yeah, the website is churchandstate.media.
churchandstate.media. Mine is alexmcfarland.com. Lots of content there. This is Real Truth for Today, the Jeff Shreve Show. I'm honored to be sitting in for Jeff, and you're listening to the American Family Radio Network. More about the moment we're living in. God is on the move, and we'll talk more about that and your role in it after this. Stay tuned.
At Wesley Biblical Seminary, we believe God is raising up a movement across our nation and around the world who hold fast to the inerrancy of Scripture and the hope of holiness. We do this through bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees, certificate programs, and even training for lay people. So whatever your next step is in being equipped for ministry, we're here for you. And if you believe these are the kind of pastors we need leading churches in the future, we invite you to think about giving to Wesley Biblical Seminary. Learn more about us at wbs.edu.
Thoughts of the child you were carrying keep pouring over in your mind. A deep, unrelenting sadness overshadows your days, and you wonder if you will ever feel whole again. There is hope and healing from a reproductive loss. Call the International Helpline, 866-482-LIFE, and talk with someone who has been where you are. Your call is confidential, and we will help you find healing. 866-482-LIFE.
This is Abraham Hamilton III with AFR, and we're sending Bibles. Here's Michael with Bible League International.
What if you were forced to live without a Bible? You know, that's the way it is for evangelical Christians all over the world. Only one Christian in 10 has a Bible in many parts of Asia, Africa, the Middle East, and Latin America. But hear from this pastor as he shares the reaction of a senior saint who finally received her own Bible.
She literally knelt down and cried. At the age of 60, she never had a Bible. It is so much fulfilling just to see people rejoicing when they receive their Bibles.
AFR listeners, with every gift today, you're putting tears of joy on the faces of Bibleist believers all over the world. You know, we want to do that for 4,000 waiting believers that we know by name at Bible League. We are far behind where we need to be. So at $5 a Bible, $100 sends 20, would you pray about it and be involved today, Abraham?
You can give by calling 800-YES-WORD, 800-YES-WORD, or visit sendbiblesnow.org. That's sendbiblesnow.org.
Hey, I'm Brant, and her name is Sherry.
Hello.
She's a friend of mine whom we were just praying for because of a surgery she just went through.
Yes, and I am very happy about something you actually talk about all the time, which is...
MediShare.
That is right.
Yeah. So what was your experience like with MediShare and the healthcare bills?
Honestly, Brant, seamless. And what a blessing that is when you're already nervous about a health issue, which I was.
Yeah.
Members shared my expenses. There were zero problems. And let me tell you, having people pray with you when you call in with your need, that is just...
It is refreshing.
Yes, that's what it is.
But yeah. I keep telling people, love MediShare, and they love saving tons of money too. The typical family can save $500 a month.
I am very thankful for MediShare. It is so different, and I mean different in a very, very good way.
It is good different. Call now. They're easy to talk to, and you can get a price within 2 minutes. Call 833-44-BIBLE. That's 833-44-BIBLE. 833-44-BIBLE.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email PastorJeff@FromHisHeart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. That's in Genesis 50, Joseph and his brothers. Romans 8:28, speaking of the sovereignty of God and how God always brings ultimate good out of proximate tragedy and evil, says, "For we know," K-N-O-W, that's the word certitude, we're certain, "that all things work together for the good to those who love the Lord and are the called according to his purpose." Alex McFarland here, my friend Caleb Collier. We're talking about life, Christianity, the call to be a representative and a defender of the faith, and obviously all of these truths in light of the homegoing of Charlie Kirk, who Caleb and I both knew and we had the privilege of working with. And, you know, Caleb, I want to talk with this remaining segment about what we do now and how we move forward. But one more little observation about the cultural significance of this. One of my heroes in American church history, and I've studied him really for years and years, is D.L. Moody. Caleb, I'm sure you've heard of him. He was in the 1800s. He was kind of the Billy Graham of the 1800s, D.L. Moody, right? You've heard of him, right?
Absolutely.
Okay. I honestly believe that Charlie Kirk was like a D.L. Moody of our times. Okay, D.L. Moody had maximum 2 years of formal education, but he was self-taught. but he went to Oxford in England. He shared the gospel. Okay, from the time of his salvation to the time of his death was 27 years. And yet, by the time D.L. Moody died, there were missionaries on every continent that had been through his school. They questioned whether or not there was anybody in Antarctica. But like, if you didn't make it to Antarctica, we'll cut you some slack. But here's the thing. President Abraham Lincoln went to Chicago to seek out an audience with D.L. Moody. And they said when Moody died, the city of Chicago basically stopped for an entire week. President William McKinley went to the funeral. You know, D.L. Moody, his passing made world headlines. And literally, this, because Moody Church in Chicago is there, Moody Bible Institute. Our friend Erwin Lutzer, we've had on countless times, was pastor of Moody Church. But I really think the death of Charlie Kirk is the only thing analogous to the death and the world hit the pause button when D.L. Moody died. It's been like that with Charlie Kirk. I mean, international leaders, Charlie had just been to South Korea to talk about freedom and liberty as God-given rights. I think it's going to take a little while for to really sink in what God did. And folks, get this, and I'll throw it to Caleb, in 31 years. Now, Caleb, I like to think that I have the pedal to the metal and I'm giving Jesus my best, and I don't like to waste time because time is a non-recoverable asset. I mean, if you lose money, you could get some more money, but you cannot recover lost time, right? And, you know, I give God the glory. 21 books. My 21st book comes out October 2nd, spoken in over 2,000 churches. I believe in being a high productivity Christian. But Charlie Kirk touched planet Earth in 31 years. That only happens when the hand of God is upon someone's life. It really is a miraculous life well lived, isn't it?
Absolutely. And I got to tell you, I mean, 21 books, I've only written one book. So that's really impressive. But yeah, Charlie would have been hard to catch up to. 31 years, as you pointed out. And that was a man on fire. I mean, he was just go, go, go. He was constantly traveling. I mean, obviously, anybody watching on YouTube or whatnot, his debates, you can see him in constant, you know, different college campuses. So he really was a man on the move. And I think, you know, there's a thing that's trending right now of we are Charlie Kirk or I am Charlie Kirk. Mm-hmm. That's, I think, where we really need to go. Look, America has not faced persecution for Christianity. It has been a welcome home for right about 250 years for Christians. I think right now people are waking up to the fact that you can pay a price for being a Christian, something that our brothers and sisters all across the world have known for a very long time. Persecution does lead to growth, and I'm not saying that I want persecution to happen in America. I'd rather go back towards it being the standard. But if that's what's coming at us, then it is really time to shore up your faith, to really dive deep into the Word of God, and to be in prayer, and to be letting. I challenge people all the time. Does your neighbor know you're a Christian? Does your coworker know you're a Christian? If not, why not? Why aren't you talking about this? I mean, you want to talk about who won the last football game? Who cares? What about Christ? That's how we should be living our life.
Amen. Amen. And, you know, somebody over the weekend that knew him, well, it was Jenna Ellis. We were on the phone because Jenna will be speaking for us. And by the way, folks, if you want to learn how to defend your faith, we've got a free event, no charge, October 3rd and 4th. Okay, Friday night, October 3rd, we're going to have our event that was going to be Sunday night, September 14th. We were going to have Lauren Green, Caleb Collier. We were going to have this panel discussion about the state of the nation and the state of the church. Well, Charlie Kirk, our friend, was killed on September 10th. the world was kind of on lockdown, and Lauren called me on that Friday, September 12th, I believe it was, and she said, hey, look, Fox is not letting any of the on-air personalities do public appearances until further notice. And by the way, Trey Gowdy was going to be with us too, and he is also on Fox, and so Trey Gowdy couldn't come. So here's what we're doing, and folks, you can be there, but you better hurry because the venue is two-thirds full already. All right, Friday night, October 3rd, in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, we've got the Greg Rolls Theater, fantastic state-of-the-art. We've used it many times. We're going to be there. Caleb Collier will be there in person. I'll be there in person. Jenna Ellis, American Family Radio personality, attorney, broadcaster, Jenna Ellis, constitutional expert, and yes, also personal friend of Charlie Kirk. And we'll be there. There are going to be some others as well. But for one thing, we're going to have a panel discussion with open Q&A on Friday night, October 3rd, about where do we go from here? I, as an individual citizen and a Christian, what is my role in the world moving forward? You know, folks, there's this saying, one life to live will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Now, this is free. Friday night, October 3rd, it is free. But you do have to register, and you do that by going to alexmcfarland.com. alexmcfarland.com. Then, for those that want to stay over, on Saturday morning, October 4th, we have a three-hour session on apologetics. I'm going to personally be your apologetics professor. I'm going to teach you the same content that I've taught at Liberty University, Caris Bible College, Biola University, at 200 American colleges. I'm going to teach you how to share your faith confidently in any situation. It's going to be fantastic, but that's a free, just Saturday morning, 3 hours, and we're going to go over the top five objections to Christianity that you'll probably come across. And then one thing I want to say, security will be completely there. When we had Charlie, August 21, we had 24 uniformed police officers. We believe in security, so no worries. I promise you, there'll be metal detectors. You'll be as safe as in anywhere you could be. But one last thing, Caleb, I want to encourage people to be there. But I was watching Charlie's videos over the weekend, and he was at endless numbers of universities. One of the things I kept seeing professors and students, usually the rainbow hair, students.
Septum piercing.
Yeah, yeah. I don't mean to be flippant. I really don't. But I mean, a lot of these students that would look like a fishing tackle box exploded in their face, all these piercings. It's very sad. It's a spiritual issue. But they would say, you that are pro-life, you that are traditional marriage, you that believe men don't turn into women, you're taking away my rights, quote unquote. Now, one of the things that I teach at the college and postgrad level, and I've taught for 20 years, is morals, natural law, which is the foundation of the Constitution. Caleb, if you would, speak to the fact that when we defend the philosophical foundation of the Constitution, you might call it the Judeo-Christian worldview. You might call it absolute truth. Jefferson called it self-evident truth, moral absolutes. Nobody's losing any rights when we basically proclaim how our Constitution works. That's not taking away anybody's rights, is it?
No. In fact, it's the exact opposite of that. We don't have a theocracy, much to the chagrin of the left that constantly accuses us of wanting that. I describe myself as a bibliotarian, right? So I'm all about freedom. I'm all about liberty. But we have to have a moral standard. Otherwise,
It's all subjective, and you could believe that your freedom allows you to, you know, punch anybody in the face that you want. Nobody wants to live in a society like that. Obviously, we need rules and regulations. We just happen to be blessed to live in a country where the restrictions on government are numerous. But that doesn't mean that we're trying to be oppressive and take away, you know, these individuals' rights. Look, you cannot make an idol out of your freedom. And that's unfortunately what a lot of Americans have done, both left and right. And I'm even throwing myself under the bus here on this one. There was a long point in my life where I worshiped the creation instead of the creator. And by that, I mean, I worshiped liberty. I was all about the freedom. I'd really gone down that path of that libertarianism without God. And that's not the right move. Why would you want to worship something that's been created? It's almost like the Old Testament where they're worshiping, you know, some rock that they carved into a face. That's what I did with liberty, and that's what a lot of Americans are doing. We need a return to Christ, the author of it all.
Amen. Amen. And look, I love America. Oh, my goodness. I am so patriotic. I really am. Hey, Caleb, I'm going to tell you, my wife and I, we love to go to the baseball games. There's in Greensboro, North Carolina, there's a local baseball team. And then sometimes when we're in Myrtle Beach for events, we'll go see the Myrtle Beach Pelicans. Caleb, I tear up when I hear the national anthem. I mean, I really do. My dad was a World War II vet. We went to Pearl Harbor, you know, so I love America. But really, folks, think about this. Our nation, it's home, sure. You know, we love home, the USA. But this is really a tool God raised up. I believe the United States of America is a tool God raised up for the fulfillment of the Great Commission. Because, see, this world is not our ultimate home. If you're a Christian, you know heaven is our destination, our home. Now, I want to say, if you're not sure that you're saved, by all means, call out to Jesus today and get saved, because every person will live everlastingly in one of two places, either heaven or hell, in the presence of Christ or separated from Him. That's why it is so imperatively, vitally important that you call on Jesus while you have opportunity, which is like right now. And if you want to know what it means to be saved, I mean, go to my website, alexmcfarland.com. There's a little tab, what does God say about my relationship with Him? And as far as we know, either by the books I hand out or the website, I mean, 250,000 people have prayed to accept Christ. We give God the glory. But, you know, behind me, as Caleb and I have had this conversation, there have been Ben Carson and Frank Turek, and Mikey McCoy, and all the TPUSA personalities that we know and love. Charlie gave his life, and it's bearing fruit. Caleb, we're called to give our lives as well, aren't we?
Amen to that. And if I could just piggyback off what you said, and I love that. I love that we're ending the show with a call to Christ. But I also encourage the audience, you got to go find a really good church. You don't want to be an island in this situation. You need to find somebody that's going to disciple you through your newfound faith. And there are great churches everywhere. I mean, Alex is Pentecostal. I'm actually Lutheran. But there is a lot of great churches across the denominational spectrum that you need to get inside of so that you can actually work with the army of God.
Amen. Folks, thanks for listening to Real Truth for Today. Alex McFarland, I'll be back at 3 p.m. Central on Exploring the Word. Keep your radio tuned to AFR and tell somebody about Jesus.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.